Mazzara and Parra project to Ally Wara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandits scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Very serious mood right here in the podcast room on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm breaking the tension right now. Snap out of it, fellas. We're going to have some fun today.
No.
Come on, Chris.
No.
Come on, Chris Towers.
Okay.
All right. There he is. Chris Towers in the house with Al Melchior, and I am Adam Azer. Welcome to the show. Fantasy Baseball at CBSI.com is our email address. Please put baseball podcast or grade the trade or something like that in the subject line. Fantasy Baseball at CBSI.com. We're also ramping up our Fantasy Football podcast if you're into that. So you can listen to Fantasy Football Today and vote for us on PodcastAwards.com. I will be your best friend. If you vote for us and tweet me, I will be your best friend. That is a promise. Anything you need for the rest of your life. Fantasy Football Today on PodcastAwards.com. Good morning. I have a question, Al.
What's that?
This morning I was asking you to print something for me, and it was taking forever, and I went, Al. And then I got to thinking, was Married with Children a big show for you when it came out?
Not a big show, but I watched it.
But
I watched it every week.
You know how like people named Jeremy, their lives changed when the Pearl Jam song came out?
Yeah.
Was that Married with Children for you?
Not at all. Not at all. No impact.
It should have.
What about Grace?
I don't think a single person has ever called me Al Bundy.
What about Graceland?
That was a game changer.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, that got old.
Call Me
fast.
Al, yeah?
Yes.
What are we talking about?
The song "Call Me Al."
That's
called Graceland.
That's from the album "Graceland" by Paul Simon.
Who listens to albums these days?
I do.
Hey, we have more music on today's show. I got a tweet. I love that song, by the way. I got a tweet from DJ Obi, and he said that he didn't get one of our rock references the other day, and he wanted us to do a hip hop show.
Okay,
so. Being so unhip, and this podcast itself is so unhip, I had to ask Heath. Heath is my like entry into the hip hop world.
Wow, that's,
Heath, can you give me some hip hop songs that we could make a segment around?
I don't think that's really fair because a couple weeks ago when Heath was dropping Ludacris song titles, he had to Google them.
No, it was a terrible. Heath was a terrible choice. He was giving me like salt and pepper.
If Heath is the is the hippest option we have.
Are you hipper?
I mean,
could you give me hip hop songs? Because I have two. I was hoping for a third.
I could probably do that.
All right. Well, you think about it. What I need is like a neutral, like it's sort of like a buy sell hold. We have the good, we have the bad. We need a more neutral hip hop title. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's start the show and talk about Jameson Taillon. We got a lot of bullpen stuff for you. If you need a closer, we have some setup men that you should be looking into. Taillon, Archie Bradley pitched yesterday. Taiwan Walker was great yesterday. James Shields was horrible. Vince Velasquez left with an injury, a lot more. So let's get to it. We'll also grade some trades a little bit later. 72% Taillons is the title of this segment. Six innings, six hits. Three earned, two walks, and three strikeouts against the Mets. Taillon, who again is 72% owned, 60 strikes and 91 pitches, only five swinging strikes. All right, what were your takeaways, guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched the portion of the game where he didn't look so sharp, gave up the Ty Kelly homer, but overall, I think it's kind of what you can expect from Taillon. We talked about him yesterday. I said you could probably expect him to go pretty deep into games, so six innings in the debut. Not bad. Not bad. Yeah. And the two out of three pitches for strikes, again, very good control. Five whiffs out of 91 pitches. That's extremely low. He's not a strikeout pitcher. I think you'd probably expect a little better than that.
Yeah, and the one thing I would take away is Taillon only really threw two pitches in this game. He threw his fastball. He threw his slider. The slider looked really good from what I saw. He got only two swing strikes on it, but it looks like a pretty solid above average pitch.
He got one strikeout on a beautiful changeup, but I guess he just didn't throw it that often.
Yeah,
it was his first strikeout.
Brooks baseball doesn't have him throwing any changeups. So I don't know what's up with that.
It could have been a slider, but I'm not sure if you guys saw it. It was his first strikeout, and it looked a heck of a lot like a changeup.
Was it the one to Cespedes?
No, it was to a lefty.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. That's.
But I don't think he threw it very often, if he threw it. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so mostly a two-pitch pitcher, which I guess isn't that unusual. Doesn't mean it'll stay that way.
Yeah, and that was kind of the scouting report coming up, was he was more... You know, the changeup was clearly the third pitch for him. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that he didn't lean on it too often in his debut.
Well, I'm not that excited right now. I'm not. I mean, 72%. I drop him for Archie Bradley, who's 61%. I was going to ask you guys that. I know Bradley didn't have a great start yesterday, but... Who would you rather own?
I would rather own Bradley. I do think there's greater immediate upside with Bradley. But it's a tough call because, again, I think Tyone could be kind of steady but not necessarily spectacular. Whereas Bradley, this is the risk with Bradley. You know, he looked like he had ditched the control issues and then he just couldn't throw strikes yesterday. So I think they both could be frustrating in their own ways.
That's just so interesting. Look, you're talking about a guy who... Maybe he'll pitch deep into games, but it's not like he's going to go 8 innings regularly or even 7 innings regularly for Tyone,
yeah.
Who is mostly a two-pitch pitcher right now, who doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Why are we so excited about him, I guess?
Well, it's not like he doesn't strike anyone out. Like
I said a lot of guys.
Sure, but he was close to a strikeout per inning at AAA. You know, it's not like... And again, the thing we have to keep in mind with everything that Tyone's doing in the minors this season is he hadn't pitched for 2 full years. Like, that's incredible that he came out 2 years after, or 3 years after, pitching in competitive games for the first time, and a 2.04 ERA at AAA. I think there is reason to be excited.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, this kind of piggybacks on our conversation yesterday when Heath made the bold claim that you can't be a good pitcher without strikeouts. I think we do get so whipped up with the K rates that, yeah, Tyone isn't, you know, I don't think he's going to be really impressive in that regard, but I think he's pretty impressive in just about every other regard.
All right, that's fair. And I've been, you know, complaining about pitching for a while now. It's just, I think it's a bad year for pitching. I think there's a lot of really disappointing pitchers that people had high expectations for, like Taijuan Walker, Vince Velasquez, who left yesterday's start. So, yeah, any pitching help you can get, I think, is important. So Tyone is 72% owned. The big news, okay, other than Vince Velasquez, we'll get to that in a minute. Rangers news. Yu Darvish left last night's start with shoulder tightness, but he thinks he'll be fine, and Darvish thinks it was just part of the process of coming back from Tommy John surgery. He right now expects to make his next start. I think you got to cross your fingers there. Adrian Beltre left with hamstring tightness while he was running. Oh, man, I would be shocked if he didn't go on the DL. Who leaves a game with hamstring tightness and doesn't go on the DL? I'm going to put it at 80% odds for a disabled list stint. Okay. How do we feel about that?
Now, that sounds like a good place to set it.
Okay, and that means Profar, yeah. Gallo, maybe?
They're going to have to sit somebody before his injury. They're having to sit somebody to get Profar in the lineup. So I think the first thing is just to ensure that they can get Prince, unless they're really, you know, giving up on Prince Fielder, which I doubt
or
the
Moreland.
Rangers are. Or Moreland. I think they give those guys, you know, chances to stay in the lineup first before they call up Gallo.
I think you're right. I wish you weren't.
I agree.
I'm tired of seeing Mitch Moreland and Prince Fielder in the lineup. Like, at some point, we're 2 months into the season, they both look pretty awful. And just like, let's see Joey Gallo. See what the kid can do.
Gallo is still striking out.
He's
like
cut
once per game, but his walks.
He's cut
are much
his
better.
Strikeout rate
well,
significantly
yeah.
in AAA.
His walk to strikeout ratio is a lot better this year.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging. Vince Velasquez did leave in the first inning with bicep soreness. Zach Eflin or Zach Efron.
Yeah,
they are still deciding which one will replace him. If Velasquez needs to miss a turn, it could be Zach Eflin who could start in his place. I don't know who that is. You don't need to be concerned about Zach Eflin. Chris Davis of the Orioles was rested so he could rest some bumps and bruises. Rich Hill is going to miss this weekend's start with a groin strain, and Rich Hill could end up on the DL.
I think there's a 90% chance
90?
Of that.
90? Okay. Yeah. Trevor Story took a seat yesterday. He went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts on Tuesday, so he got a day off. Victor Martinez took a seat after going 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts on Tuesday. That was the first time in Victor Martinez's career that he went 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts.
That's a silver sombrero.
Yes.
Yeah. And Colorado has played 9 more road games than home games. Remember I talked about this last week? I thought maybe some Rockies players could be buy-low candidates after this latest road trip. Then right after I said that, they had that huge game where everybody went nuts. But maybe now. I mean, look, over the course of the year, I don't know if it makes a huge difference, but 9 extra home games compared to road games, you might get some better production from a Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, what, 100 games left probably? Something around there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a pretty significant difference.
Cool. Here's your stat of the day / bullpen segment. Will Harris has thrown 26 and a third consecutive scoreless innings. That is the longest streak in baseball. Will Harris is 35% owned. He got the save yesterday. Luke Gregerson had pitched 2 straight days, but I think Ken Giles should have been available. He pitched on Monday, but not on Tuesday. Michael Feliz pitched the 7th inning. Are you convinced that Will Harris is the closer, or at least will be the closer soon for the Astros?
I'm not, which isn't to say that I didn't pursue him in some deeper leagues, Harris. But I don't know. I have this suspicion that Gregerson's going to wind up with the job again. You know, he said it's a committee of 4 with Feliz and Giles and Gregerson, Giles. And it just the way that this whole situation's been handled. It seems like Hinch really likes Gregerson. And look, Gregerson's good.
Yeah.
He wasn't for a couple of weeks there.
He's just...
He was overused in the one, you know, spurt where he pitched, what, 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah. For me, it's just he's kind of the least exciting of the options. Like, you could see Ken Giles turning into, like, a top 5 closer.
Sure.
With the way Will Harris has pitched this season, he would be a top 5 closer if he was getting save opportunities. And it's just like, Gregerson's good. But he's not like he's not as good as those guys potentially could be in the role.
All right. So I dropped Gregerson this morning in one league. I guess I was a little hasty. Now I have to root for Will Harris. How about in Minnesota? They're going to go committee right now with Brandon Kinstler and Fernando Abad. Abad is a lefty, but he has been tremendous this year as a .87 ERA. Kinstler's been pretty good, too, and he got the save yesterday against Miami. Now, we do have... We do have Glenn Perkins potentially coming back on the horizon, so keep that in mind. But, Chris, what's your take on the Minnesota situation?
I would probably go with Kinstler if I was looking for a streaming save option, just because managers tend to not commit to lefties as their closers unless they're just absolutely overpowering. It's just... They want to avoid the platoon split late in the games, and I think that's probably the way I would lean.
I am so glad I traded for Jepsen this past weekend in Top Wars.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's been really bad.
Yeah.
I also, this guy wasn't in the notes because he wasn't a factor yesterday, but I still think Doolittle, when you talk about a lefty, he is can be overpowering. Yep. I think he's got a chance there. What do you think?
Out in Oakland? Yeah.
Or in Minnesota. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Did I miss something? I know I'm aloof. But no, he absolutely does. We've seen him. He's made, what, 2 All-Star games? He's been a very good elite closer at times. The issue for him has just been staying healthy the last couple of years. I definitely think he's got a chance to take the closer's job.
I'm glad you mentioned how aloof you are, Chris, because I promised your boss that I would call you out on this on the air. Why is it that when I see you are at your computer... And I sent you an instant message. It takes minutes every time for you to respond to the IM. I know you're there.
Well, that's because you don't use our boss's system, which is he sends Chris a message, and then he sends me a message to tell Chris to read the message.
Here's the thing. For some reason, when I'm at my desk, we've got the laptops, and then we've got the little dock, and you plug the laptop into the dock. I plug my headphones in. For some reason, something that's on my... Chrome, my browser, doesn't come out in my headphones. It's very odd. I don't understand.
So you don't hear the...
Bloop. And so I don't hear the little guy. It always takes me a couple minutes to...
It's so annoying.
I know.
Yeah, it's just...
You know what else is annoying?
What?
Asking the podcast host to put stuff in the notes that doesn't show up in the notes. And this would be a good time to talk about Raisel Iglesias and Shane Green.
It would be. Let's come back to that in 1 second. Santiago Casilla had an interesting night. So he pitches 1/3 of an inning. Hanley Ramirez hits a fly ball that I think Mac Williamson drops or misplays. It ends up being a two-base error. Casilla stays on in a 2-1 game in the 9th inning. Casilla stays on, strikes out Jackie Bradley, then gets taken out of the game for a left-handed pitcher, Javier Lopez, who comes on to face David Ortiz and gets Ortiz, and then Hunter Strickland came on for the final out. So they had Casilla start the inning. A runner gets on base on an error. Casilla gets one more out. Then they go lefty-lefty. Then they bring in Strickland to finish it off. What the heck?
Why? You know, yeah. And I'm just sitting here, can't figure out why baseball games are so long. Maybe we just need less time between pitches.
That's probably it.
I don't know if this is like everybody stash Hunter Strickland, but I feel like most closers get to stay in the game with David Ortiz coming up. You know, most closers don't get pulled for a lefty, and Casilla did.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a situation where somebody who's not normally the closer gets a save and you don't take action, this is probably it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there's been no discussion by Bochy or anybody that I've seen about Casilla being in danger of losing his job, but it just seems like maybe there should be.
I read the papers this morning, or I tried to read some Giants articles, and they just treated it like it was ho-hum, whatever.
Exactly.
It wasn't like this might be a change in role. David Robertson, he hasn't pitched much lately. The White Sox have won 6 of their last 26 games, but Robertson now has a 4.37 ERA, and he got clobbered in a non-save situation, first time pitching since June 1st, gave up 3 runs on 4 hits in a 1/3 of an inning. He's always been kind of a high ERA guy, normally like 3.30s, I think, for how good he is.
I'm always rusty when I get a full week off, too. I feel like that's probably the take. Like,
Chris, you don't go 4 hours without publishing something.
That's probably true.
But he has Robertson is walking a lot of guys, though. 13 walks, 11 walks this year, and 22 1/3. So very high for him. Any long-term concerns here about Robertson?
Not at all.
No.
And I do chalk it up to the rust. He's just far better than this.
Jairys Familia, any concerns about him? In Familia's last 7 appearances, he's given up 7 runs on 10 hits, with 6 walks, 3 of them last night in 7 innings. Any concerns there? And Addison Reed is having a great year and has been pretty good since he came to the Mets.
I do have some concerns, and I wish I had looked into his velocity prior to coming on here. So, Chris, I know you got the internet connection, so if you don't already know, maybe you can check it out. I had an opportunity to get him about a month ago, and I actually asked for Jeremy Jeffress instead, first of all, because I figured I could get him a lot cheaper.
Right.
But, yeah, I had some concerns about Familia, because at that point I think his velocity was down and he just didn't look quite like he had been.
I think it had come back up.
Yeah, his velocity seemed mostly fine. The biggest thing that appears to be happening is he is relying a lot more on his fastballs. He's throwing them right around 80% of the time right now. It was 70% of the time last season. So
got to get that split going, Jairys Familia.
Yeah, he's only thrown 12 splitters this season.
Wow, and that was sort of a new addition for him last year. Kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he threw it 8% of the time last year, so it wasn't like a big pitch, but it was important for him. It was a put-away pitch for him, and he's barely thrown it this season.
All right, so that's Jairys Familia. Look, he's given himself a long leash, let's be honest, and he has 19 saves, but if you're a Familia owner, maybe you get Addison Reed on your radar. Maybe. All right, so Shane Green, Raisel Iglesias going to the bullpen. Al, you see potential there for them to become closers for their teams.
I do. Well, especially Iglesias, because Brian Price has said that that's a possible role for him when he comes back off of the DL, which would be, I'd say, roughly 2 weeks from now, 2 to 3 weeks. So if you've got him and you heard the news that he's being moved to the bullpen, hopefully you didn't drop him. If you still have him, I think that Iglesias does need to be stashed, because you look at that Cincinnati bullpen situation, and it seems like there's a very good chance Iglesias could close.
I can't imagine they've had a lot of save chances this year compared to the rest of the league, though, because they are terrible.
Yeah, okay. And that's fair. I guess if it's a league where there's closers on waivers, maybe there's somebody you'd rather have on your roster than Iglesias, but I think in most leagues, it's worth the shot, because, you know, it's why I trade for Kevin Jepsen. Saves are saves. That worked out great. and Shane Green, I think K-Rod's pretty safe there in Detroit, but you know, Green hasn't been great so far out of the bullpen, but it's to you know, paraphrase something Heath might say, there's a non-zero chance.
Non-zero, sure. Yeah. Love it. Guys, any other major standouts for you as we get into the Wednesday nitty-gritty?
Well, one thing that I'm going to be keeping an eye on moving forward, I've got a piece coming out on the website today about swinging strike rates for pitch type, the best and worst in baseball, and among pitchers who had thrown at least 100 splitters, Taijuan Walker has had the worst swinging strike rate. And that's actually half of what it was last season. His swing strike rate last season was right around 19%. Right, this season, it's about 9%. So that's a big part of why he doesn't get that many swings and misses on his secondary stuff. Last night, he had 17 swings and misses. 14 of them were on his fastball. Now, that's a really good sign because he's got a great fastball, but this is Major League Baseball. You can't survive with just a fastball alone. He had two swinging strikes on the splitter last night. His curveball is just kind of trash. It's really bad. And so it's just like, I still wonder, like, can this guy be the ace we were hoping for when he really only has one good pitch?
It's really interesting on Taijuan Walker.
And, like, I know his command is also kind of iffy from time to time. It's just like, last night was pretty good. The Mariners have pitched really well in this series against the Indians, and it's a bunch of guys that we don't think are all that good, so maybe it's more an Indians thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. I believe in Taijuan Walker's potential, but it's just the current day outcomes just aren't great right now.
Stand out for you?
I'll go negative. Jaime Garcia, who
he's dead, but he's
maybe that's old news.
No, look, I had been, so you, I don't know if you remember, but I had been banging this drum that Jaime Garcia was only pitching well in these really favorable matchups. He had a very easy schedule, and when he wasn't facing those types of teams, Jaime Garcia was having bad starts or like whatever starts, nothing that would get you excited. And then he goes out and he pitches really well at the Nationals. But the Nationals, like, they're not that tough of a matchup. I mean, and then I started thinking about it, like, how many NL teams really are?
The Reds are actually decent against lefties this season. For what it's worth, I think they've been top 10.
So this was a tough matchup for him, and he got crushed. This was a fairly tough matchup for him. Yeah. And I can buy that. But I don't think the Reds lineup is that bad.
Yeah, but you know, in a way, I do think it's sort of old news that maybe I'm just kind of catching up on, or maybe just giving him too much benefit of the doubt, because he was great in April.
You weren't the only one. I mean, he had a good year last year. I think I was the only person on the podcast that wasn't really buying Jaime Garcia, and I might be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right.
Look, I mean, he's good.
He's okay.
Well, since May, he really hasn't even been good. I mean, in last couple starts, not a lot of ground balls, so that's kind of the constant for him.
Yeah.
The strikeouts have gone away.
Yeah.
So that was something that kind of, you know, early on with the high strikeout rate, something that elevated him beyond what he had been.
Well, it's almost time for some hip-hop. Oh, by the way, would you rather have Archie Bradley or Jaime Garcia?
I definitely would rather have Bradley.
Yeah. Is this a pitcher that I need to start for the next couple of weeks?
No, probably.
Okay,
probably.
Then
you can do with it what you want.
If it will, but that's it's going to matter what my team situation is. Like, I'm not sure I trust Archie Bradley yet, just because he's had a couple of good starts.
Would you pick up James Paxton and drop Jaime Garcia?
See, again, I'm not sure I would be ready to trust James Paxton. But if it's a situation where I clearly think James Paxton has more upside than Jaime Garcia, so if it's a situation where he's my seventh pitcher, then yeah, I might do that.
I don't mean to nitpick, but honestly, the way I feel like this year with pitching, your seventh pitcher is probably really valuable. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I'd like to have at least eight good pitchers on every
team. Well, your seventh pitcher may be valuable, but I also think he can be replaced.
He could be replaced, but I wouldn't want to replace my seventh best pitcher with a guy like James Paxton that I don't know. He could be terrible, you know?
Yeah,
I could rather.
Yeah, but it's probably someone that you're only starting every other week, and like, maybe. I don't know. I see someone come in with second hardest fastball in baseball after Noah Syndergaard. I want to see where that goes.
That's Paxton.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I don't think I've told y'all about all the options on FanDuel. There are a number of things you can do when you play fantasy baseball, daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. leagues, 50-50s, tournaments, head-to-heads against one opponent, multipliers. I used to love challenging my friend in the office, Jade Aaron Darst, during the football season. We would play one-on-one FanDuel contests. Do that with baseball. Do that with any sport you want. Do it on FanDuel. We would play on FanDuel one-on-one and have an awesome time. For, you know, we would do it for $1, maybe $2, something like that. You can do whatever you want. Call your friend, compete against each other. Just one of the many awesome things you can do on FanDuel.com. And if you're a new user and you use our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, when you enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel's automatically refunding your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. Again, that's one word, no spaces, HOMERUN on FanDuel.com. So Mike Taylor has our tweet of the day. And he addressed it to the three of us plus Heath, but it's a good thing Heath's not here because I think only the three of us apply. He says, you guys should do a Bark at the Park-like podcast, except with your cats.
I love this idea.
Yeah, we all have cats, right?
Do your cats bark?
No.
I have one that's very talky, though.
Yeah, I have one that's very vocal.
So, and he also, on Tuesday night when I was updating my rankings at home, he actually changed some rankings.
Oh, so that's now we know who to blame.
Yeah, so exactly. If there's an errant ranking there,
what did he do?
It's Izzy.
Hit the
trackpad.
Yeah, my cat, Liz Lemon. She gets very upset when I take my dog for walks. Like, she sits at the door and, like, meows the entire time. It's very sad.
That is sad.
Very sad, because, like, what if we never come back? She's going to sit at the door.
Well, Do they get along, the cat and
the
dog?
Oh, they love each other.
Really?
Oh, they love each other.
My cat meows at the door of my office when I do the podcast.
No.
And that is sad because I can't get off the air and let her in. That saddens me.
We got sad cat.
She
song.
Loves fantasy baseball, apparently. She just,
who doesn't?
She wants to be a part of it. All right, so DJ Obi inspired us with a hip-hop segment. And Snoop Dogg threw out the first pitch last night, and it was very Yordano Ventura-like. High and tight to a righty. Terrible pitch. I'm not sure if you saw it, but
yeah, he's skinny like Yordano too.
Yeah, he is. DJ Obi said, maybe you should go with "I got 99 problems and blank is one" as a segment, which is interesting. But I thought it was a little, maybe a little R-rated. I don't know why I just read it then, but we decided we'd look for songs in the Aerosmith vein of let's put players in categories based on hip hop song titles. So Heath did this. And we have two. One
and
for
this shows you when the last time Heath listened to hip-hop music was.
One for good players, players that we think are good, and one for players that we don't want. What a Man.
Sure.
What a Man, What a Man, What a Man for He's Great. And You Can't Touch This for I Want No Part of Him.
Yep.
Let's stick with Jay-Z there. What about Dirt Off Your Shoulders?
I have no idea what you just said. I don't know that song.
You don't know that song?
I do not know Dirt Off Your Shoulders. But good for you, Al.
Yeah, good song.
Now I'm the lame one.
You are the lame
one. Sure. Do you have any more hip hop suggestions, Chris?
I haven't been thinking about it.
Yeah, and that's tough on the spot. So I'm going to give you players that we don't talk about much. And they're all, either available in shallow leagues or maybe they're by lows or something, except for Josh Harrison. They're having interesting years. You tell me, What a Man? Or You Can't Touch This. Jonathan Scope, 70% owned, really struggling, 666 OPS since mid-April. You Can't Touch This, or you still think, What a Man, I want this guy on my team.
I think there are enough second basemen out there that I would go, You Can't Touch This. I'm getting ready to drop him in the one league where I have him.
I'll agree. I mean, I wish we had that neutral option.
Yeah, I know. This is tough.
Because, I mean, I have
Scope. Chris really
and
let
I'm,
us
and
down
I'm not
with
dropping
that.
Him, but... time for me to pimp my latest column where I paired up guys who are lesser owned than other players at the same position but who I think would be better to start. And I think that you should start Steve Pierce rather than Jonathan Scope, even though Pierce is more available. So you could drop Scope.
Would you rather have Scope or Hervis Solarte?
Solarte.
Yeah.
Okay, next up. What a Man or You Can't Touch This? Josh Harrison. He's having a really good year.
Can't touch this.
Really? You're not buying it?
Oh, I went the wrong way. What a man.
What a man, that Josh Harrison. What do you guys think?
I'll let Can't Touch This because that could be a positive.
God, this is
yeah, he's
bust.
One of those guys. He's one of those guys that
such a so bad at hip hop.
Harrison's one of those guys that's like pretty good, like kind of like Solarte. He's like a better version of Solarte, where it's like Solarte, if he was just third base eligible, screw it, who cares? But because, you know, Solarte's first, second, third eligible, because Harrison's second, third outfield eligible, that ability to switch them between positions is really valuable, and it increases, you know, what would otherwise be just a kind of borderline startable player.
It's nice that Harrison has 11 steals and 12 attempts, and he's batting .322. I think the batting average is what you're hoping for, because he's been, you know, very different. .315 in 2014, .287 in 2015, .322 this year. Is he a 300 hitter, Al? Josh Harrison?
He could be. I was thinking .290, which is very close to what he did last season. Yeah, I think that about .290 average is what I would expect from Harrison. But I do like the steals. I think that's what makes him valuable.
Okay, what a man, or you can't touch this. Billy Hamilton, 68% owned, starting to get going here, and he's now actually batting .269. A lot of his recent production was at Coors Field. That is a big cautionary tale here with Hamilton, but things are better right now for Billy Hamilton. What a man, or you can't touch this.
What a man, what a man.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Chris?
Can't touch this unless you're in a league that rewards steals a lot.
Well, that's what I'm talking. You're not...
Yeah, no, that's it. It's just Roto.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he's above and beyond what we thought he was going to be earlier in the year, which was somebody that you don't draft in a points league. Although, well, yeah. you made that argument.
I did when I thought he was good.
Okay.
Even in his, like, he's been really good in June, but even that, he has 9 strikeouts and no walks.
Yeah, and again, the Coors Field thing is something you want to factor in. So I guess in general, are you thinking that Hamilton, all right, let me see if I can phrase this right. I think 2 years ago, Billy Hamilton was like a top 20 outfielder in Roto, despite pretty unimpressive numbers. Mm-hmm. Could he be that guy? Just steals a ton of bases. You buy low because he's been pretty bad. What does he have? 15 steals or something?
Right, but you know he's picked up the pace lately.
Yeah, exactly.
Very slow pace early on.
16
for him.
Steals. What is he going to be? At least that. A great base dealer, really good Roto option.
I think so. And like you said, not going to get much of anything else from him, but enough steals and enough of a buy low right now.
Now I'm just trying to figure out how to make this segment related to the musical Hamilton.
Oh, which you're going to see.
Billy Hamilton.
You're going to see that.
Yeah, like
that
wait for it, or stay alive, or helpless. Those would be the three.
Does it bother you that when you see Hamilton, like you already know how it ends?
I mean, I know how he gets shot.
Yeah, I know.
It's not exactly a secret. did it bother you that you knew how the Titanic ended?
I didn't know. I'd never heard of that story before. It was really interesting. Yeah, yeah. We should watch it in history class. All right, how about Billy Burns, 60% owned, having a pretty crappy year. And he's been in a major slump, but even before this major slump, Billy Burns was having a pretty crappy year. He is not even a top 70 outfielder. Is he still what a man? He could go back to being must-start in a Roto League, Billy Burns, or you can't touch this.
Can't, no part can't of touch him. This.
Can't touch this.
Because he's just not a base stealer on the level that Hamilton is. Might actually be a little better in terms of batting average, but
yeah
not enough to compensate.
How about Corey Dickerson, 2 home runs yesterday?
No, he's what a man. Although we're right back to square one, because Chris, you and I have both written things about how Dickerson is due for batting average improvement. Yep. And the power is real, and he just keeps on only hitting for power and nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a .254 ISO, but a .212 BABIP. Like, that's there aren't many players who have a higher ISO than BABIP, and I mean, look, I know he's striking out a lot, but I'm still not dropping him, yeah.
No.
Dickerson, he's on my bench in a 5 outfielder league. He's available in our 3 outfielder podcast league, and nobody's picked him up.
Yeah, 3 outfielder league, you know, I'm not so sure. But 5 outfielder, I'm definitely hanging on to him.
Are they playing at... I know they're at Arizona right now, and I know that the AL East is playing the AL West, so I wonder if Dickerson is playing at Colorado. It probably would be this weekend or next week. I don't know the schedule, but it'd be interesting. If so, Like he's got to have to go off there, right? I mean, that's
Ben
Revere, 60% owned, just like Billy Burns. He's really not doing anything. He's batting 188, has 2 steals and 5 attempts, had a good game yesterday with 3 for 6, but you know, they destroyed the White Sox yesterday. Ben Revere is batting 188, and he has been a 305 or 306 hitter 3 straight years going into this year. Is he still that guy? What a man! Or forget Ben Revere. You can't touch this.
What a man! I trust that longer track record. Yeah.
Now, when we say what a man, we're not saying this guy's going to be a stud. It's basically we still expect what we expected from Ben Revere.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good to know.
He got off to like a pretty slow start last season too. Hit 215 in April, 286 in May, and then was above 317 in each of the following months. So I'm not too concerned about it.
You know, when we were talking about Scope earlier in the segment, and I was saying you start Pierce over him, forced me to take a look at Starlin Castro, who's also second base eligible. He's more owned than Scope or Pierce.
You don't think he should be?
He is Scope with less run production possibility.
I'm not sure how I feel about Starlin Castro. I feel like he's...
I don't understand why he's so owned.
He's a Yankee. In a typical like 1 second baseman league or shortstop, you don't really need Starlin Castro. But in a roto league with a middle infield spot, you probably do need Starlin Castro. He just kind of fits that category where it's like, it's all about league depth with him. Is that fair?
Yeah. I guess that's fair. But then he's, 90% owned or something, or 80 something. Yeah.
Got off to a great start. Just hasn't carried it over. And
the Starlin Castro story.
We're gonna talk about the Yankees in a second because they had a big day at the plate. But here's some more news and notes for you. Shelby Miller is going to make a rehab start today. Troy Tulowitzki expected back Monday. Steve Pierce expected a return tomorrow. He pinch hit yesterday.
Start him over Scope.
Okay. Cameron Maben sat for the second straight day with wrist soreness, is expected back Friday. Ryan Howard started again. Tommy Joseph sat 2 straight days for the Phillies.
Weird.
The Mets acquired Jelly Johnson, according to my phone, from Atlanta. Jelly Johnson or Kelly. Starling Marte did not start due to a sore ankle, but Marte did pinch hit yesterday. Yovani Gallardo could return next week from Baltimore. Danny Valencia sat for a second straight game with a stomach bug, and Chris Davis missed another game with numbness in his left hand.
With a K.
Chris Davis with a K, yes. So keep that in mind. When you look at what Zach Davies did 2 days ago, what Chase Anderson did yesterday, this was a terrible A's lineup without Valencia and Davis. Jose Ramirez was out with a bruised ankle. He's day-to-day. Leonis Martin can come off the DL tomorrow for Seattle. Do you guys still... I'm not sure where we left off with him. He was getting hot right before he went on the DL. Do you still like Leonis Martin in roto leagues?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yep.
He was another one of the guys I made comparisons with. Him and Melvin Upton, who I kind of associated with because they're having kind of similar seasons. But again, so much more run production possibility for Martin with the Mariners. So I think that makes that combined with the steals and whatever power you get from him, which so far has been considerable.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, he has never hit for power in the majors, but he was pretty decent in the minors, and he's hitting a lot of fly balls right now.
I really am interested to see what they do with their lineup now that they have Marte and Martin healthy, because Martin was batting a little bit of leadoff, but Marte was on the DL, and Aoki's now batting leadoff again. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Will Myers, 2 home runs. Chris, I know you weren't really buying Will Myers earlier this year, and I know you think he's injury prone. We talked a lot about him yesterday, but you weren't on the show yesterday. But Will Myers, I think, is now a top 10 outfielder in Roto. He's having a great year.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Oh, how come?
I just don't think he's very good.
I
it just kind of comes down to that for me. Like, his plate discipline's not very good. I don't buy the power. It just, he's pretty meh to me. And I just, he's worth owning, but I'm not, excited about him as a superstar.
You can't spell meh without me.
Exactly.
I wonder if he has an H in his middle name, then you wouldn't be able to spell meh. Or you wouldn't be able to spell Will Myers without meh.
Exactly.
Oh, we should do a segment like that. You can't spell this guy's name without this. You ever see the Simpsons episode where they play celebrity anagrams?
No.
And Lisa's meeting, she has this new friend who becomes her rival because she's smarter than her. And her dad's like, let's play celebrity anagrams. I give you a celebrity and you rearrange the letters of their names to describe them. And he gives his daughter Alec Guinness. She goes, genuine class. And then what does he give Lisa? Oh, Jeremy Irons. And Lisa's like, Jeremy's iron. And he's like, that's very good for a first try. Here's a ball you can play with. Would you like to bounce it? It's very funny. Great episode. Okay, anyway, cool stat. Since George Springer moved to the leadoff spot, Springer and Jose Altuve are hitting a combined 353 in 136 at-bats. How about that? So, let's talk about a couple teams that broke out yesterday against some lousy pitching. Swinging in St. Louis. Although they weren't in St. Louis, so never mind. But swinging
by
four
St. Louis.
By St. Louis. Brandon Moss homered twice. He's 26% owned. Matt Adams, his slash line is pretty ridiculous, and he's 44% owned. And has hit lefties very well this year. And that's Matt Adams. And Johanny Peralta, 37% owned. I know it's Johnny. He is off to a good start in two games. Or what, three games?
Two games.
Yeah. So Brandon Moss, Matt Adams, Johanny Peralta, they're 26, 44, and 30% owned, respectively. Do you have anything to say about these Cardinals?
Well, yeah, I moved Peralta back up in my rankings when he got activated. And yeah, two doubles in that first game. So, you know, off to a great start. But I put him, I think, 14th, give or take a spot. So still not somebody I'm running out to get in head-to-head leagues.
Shortstop's pretty good right
now. Exactly,
well,
yeah.
Chris, you think Gene Segura is, I think you called him one of the five worst regulars in Major League Baseball history.
Whoa.
No, but you don't buy Gene Segura. Who do you think
since the start of May.
Who do you think will be better, Peralta or Segura?
Peralta.
You do.
And I ranked Peralta ahead of Segura, too. But he's behind Ledesma Diaz and Brandon Crawford and Ketel Marte for me.
Matt Adams, is he interesting to you guys?
He is. That is somebody I should be looking to pick up with a 44% ownership rate.
All right, next team.
That was against the very worst pitcher in baseball.
Alfredo Simon?
Alfredo Simon plus whoever the Reds throw out in the bullpen.
Tell that to the Rockies in Coors Field last week.
Yeah.
Is that not the weirdest thing of the year?
His ERA is 9.11. I mean, it's just like, it's incredible. It's not like he was good last year.
All I can say is if I was willing to pick up Logan Morrison this week and start him in a Roto League, I think I should get
Matt Adams.
Matt Adams
has legit power. You've seen that before.
Yeah.
All right, Yankee Panky here. The Yankees had a big game yesterday, and it was against Jared Weaver. And Jared Weaver in Yankee Stadium would be one of the worst pitchers if he played all his home games there. But Jacoby Ellsbury's been hot lately. Brett Gardner hopefully is coming out of it. He is 12 for his last 23, I believe. Not a lot of power there, but he is stealing bases now. He's got 11 on the year. Carlos Beltran has homered in three straight games and is just having a tremendous year. 281, bad on base, 313. 571 slugging with 16 home runs. And Beltran was really good after the All-Star break. So I think this is almost a full year of him slugging over 500. And Beltran's 83% owned. And then Chris Parmalee, who knows, could be the fairly everyday first base. Not every
50
day.
50 Fanduel points last night.
Did he?
For Chris Parmalee.
Two home runs for Parmalee. And I don't think every day because he'd probably sit against lefties, but if you're in AL-only leagues. Anyway, we've got Ellsbury, Gardner, Beltran, Parmalee. What do you guys think? Anything there?
Well, Beltran, you know, he might turn out to be somebody.
You mean this year or in his career?
In his career.
Would you put him in the Hall of Fame?
I would, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, I mean, Beltran, like you said, he's been great since late last year. You know, not off to a good start in 2015, so, you know, I think that those final stats from last year were a little misleading. Parmalee's kind of interesting if he does get the bulk of the playing time, because if he was ever in a situation tailor-made for him playing in Yankee Stadium, this would be it.
I would say Beltran, if there's a chance that the Yankees start selling off pieces and he's moved, I would definitely be worried about him. He is, I believe he was in the bottom 15 in average home run distance among all players who hit at least 18 last season, and he's been bottom 10 this season as well. So he seems to be benefiting greatly from the dimensions in Yankee Stadium.
Here's a cool stat for you from the New York Post from Mike Vaccaro a couple of days ago. There are seven players in history with 1,000 extra base hits, 1,000 walks, and 300 steals. 1,000 extra base hits, 1,000 walks, and 300 steals. Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, Tris Speaker, Craig Biggio, and Carlos Beltran. Wow. Biggio surprised me on that list.
Yeah.
I would have thought Bobby Abreu might have gotten there.
Yeah, no. You no, wrong. Okay.
Travis Beltran, better than Bobby Abreu.
Confirmed.
We have some pitchers to talk about from yesterday. We have the good rotation and the bad rotation. The good rotation consists of Taijuan Walker, who we discussed, Kenta Maeda, Julio Teheran, John Lackey, and Chris Tillman.
Well, I love me some Chris Tillman. Great start from him, and continuing on with the excellent strikeout rate. So he's been pretty consistent with that. So Tillman's, yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. Must start now.
How about ranking these guys? Taijuan Walker, Kenta Maeda, Julio Teheran, John Lackey, Chris Tillman.
Yeah, they're pretty close together. So there might be a lot of dead air here for a second.
Well, that you know what? That's fine. You don't necessarily have to rank them if you think they're pretty close together. Is there one guy in here that you think, okay, most likely to succeed? Let's do some yearbook superlatives. Most likely to succeed from this group of five. Chris?
John Lackey, just because of the team he plays on. I think that's such a boost for him. They've got a really good defense behind them. I think their team BABIP is like 250 right now. They've been just killing balls when they're put in play. So I would go Lackey. Actually has the third best slider in terms of whiff rate in baseball this season.
You are now the whiff rate source.
I am.
I'll give Tillman a slight edge over Lackey because he'll get some run support too.
Yeah.
Most likely to be dropped in 2 months. Walker, Maeda, Teheran, Lackey, Tillman.
Not that I think any of them are, but I would say Teheran for the lack of run support. And I mean, he's been very good for, I think, a little over a month now, but yep. I still just don't completely trust it.
I would say both Walker and Teheran. Teheran, a big thing, he has faced only like 44% left-handed batters so far, and he's been really awful against lefties since the start of last season.
Hmm. Interesting. But he has faced really good teams. He was on this amazing stretch of dominating very good teams until he faced the Marlins. He had a bad start against the Marlins. It turned out he was pitching with a blister on his foot. Julio Teheran, and then he had another start against the Dodgers and came back yesterday and did what everybody does, pitched well against the Padres,
yep.
Except for Will Myers. The bad rotation, James Shields, two terrible starts in a row, a combined 4 2/3, 16 hits, and 17 earned runs, and now his ERA is 5.06. He got booed in his first start at U.S. Cellular. First start with the White Sox, and he got booed. So that's not nice. Carlos Carrasco, I think Carlos Carrasco might be able to file him under ERA Matters. Do you know how many months Carlos Carrasco had an ERA under like 380 last year?
I'm going to guess one.
370. Yeah, 1 month. He had an ERA 372 or worse 5 months out of six last year. Jordan Zimmerman's been bad lately. Drew Pomerantz was bad yesterday. Jake Odorizzi didn't have a very good start at Arizona. He's been at a lot of pitcher's parks, by the way, Jake Odorizzi. So this is a hitter's park. Jaime, we talked about, and Eovaldi, two bad ones in a row. And who do you want to talk about here, guys?
Not Eovaldi, because I've gone back and forth on him so many times that I've just lost any credibility that I could possibly have on that topic. So
you and everyone else around the world, he's an enigma.
Zimmerman, I feel like I've been the low guy on him all along, and I'll file this one under ERA could be very misleading.
Okay.
Because I didn't buy into the low ERA with him. And, you know, just last year was a little bit off for him, but this year just allowing so much contact. And I just wouldn't be surprised to see him have more starts like these.
Would you guys rather have Kenta Maeda or Jordan Zimmerman?
Maeda.
I think I'd rather have Zimmerman.
Would you rather have rest of season knowing there's a potential innings limit? Aaron Sanchez or Jordan Zimmerman?
Sanchez.
Jay Happ or Jordan Zimmerman?
You got me there. Jordan Zimmerman.
Carlos Carrasco, are we still expecting a breakout this year?
He's in such a weird spot right now because of the injury coming back from that. It's hard to judge him right now, I think.
I agree.
For that reason, I wouldn't expect a breakout.
All right. I don't know that we have to answer that now. It's a tough call because of the injury. You're right. Wei-Yin Chen, Doug Fister. Wei-Yin Chen's been bad. What's up with that?
Except when he's been great.
Has he had better starts?
He's had at least a couple of really great ones.
Really good starts.
12 strikeout performance against the Brewers.
That was weird.
Well, the Brewers do strike out a lot, but
yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Doug Fister, guys, 49% owned. Should he be more owned?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's just about right, and only that high because of the relief eligibility.
Deeper leagues. Chris Iannetta homered twice and doubled. Chase Anderson, we talked about his good start against the A's. And Chase Darnot is a shortstop for the Braves, who went 3-for-5 and is batting .345 right now.
1% owned.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's been a minor league journeyman. Yes, he's with the Braves. But I'm surprised that Darnot isn't owned in at least like 10% of leagues.
Yeah.
I am talking about Chase, not Travis.
I guess anybody can be NL only relevant if you play in the NL.
Well, you say anybody. I don't think he's, look, and I'm not making an argument that he belongs in mixed leagues, but maybe some very deep ones.
Yeah.
Just is a, you know, why not try him?
Yeah, but, I guess.
I mean, I you know, I pick up guys in AL and NL just because they have a pulse and a role.
Yeah.
I mean, Darnot's more than that.
Okay.
What a terrible pitching slate tonight on FanDuel. You've got, I think, 7 night games. And here's here are your pitchers. The most expensive is Gio Gonzalez at the White Sox. And he's been pretty bad lately, but the White Sox have as well. Josh Tomlin is number 2 at Seattle. And then the guy I'm probably going with is Nate Karns against Cleveland. Then you have Marcus Stroman. And then you have Adam Wainwright. And I think we really need to talk about Adam Wainwright from a fantasy, from a seasonal standpoint here, because the velocity is up and it is making a difference. I'm not quite buying it. Chris, I seriously doubt you're buying it.
Even if, like, the velocity is up, it's making a difference. It's not like he's been very good. He's just been not terrible.
Yeah.
I just don't know what even the potential upside is here.
I don't know who else I would go with in FanDuel. Ivan Nova against the Angels, but the Angels don't really strike out much. Nova's, I wouldn't do that.
You said these are your pitchers. These aren't my pitchers. Don't put that evil on me. I will not be playing
everybody's
on this
pitchers.
Slate tonight. I cannot bring myself to get to get interested in this group of
this is really, really horrible.
This group of trash.
Yeah, I like Mike Trout at 4,200. That's not bad. I don't think Ryan Braun has been hitting well enough to justify 4,100. Cole Calhoun, 3,900. That's pretty expensive, but it's a good park for him. Yeah, this is where I would look at Ellsbury and Gardner against Yolish Chacin, 3,600 and 3,500.
Yeah.
What's Jason Worth's price?
Very low. Jason Worth
against Miguel Gonzalez in the Gonzalez versus Gonzalez showdown.
Oh, Gio Miguel. I don't even see Jason Worth. I'll search for him.
He's probably going to be way down.
Oh,
there.
I'm sorry.
He's 3,600.
3,600.
Wow.
Very expensive.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
no bargain there.
Nothing that we've we're not doing the DF Live podcast today. And nothing that we've talked about here makes me feel like that's a mistake.
How about some slumping guys? Cespedes for 3,200 against Jimmy Nelson, I think.
Yes.
Is it Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah, it is Jimmy Nelson.
And Stanton for 3,000.
I think it's perfectly fine to go with either of those guys because you figure they're going to break out of it at some point. Cespedes did tell reporters after yesterday's game he is, quote, lost at the plate. So that's not great. Stanton, I think, is actually looking better over the last couple of games. Had 2 hits yesterday.
Yeah.
Hit a couple balls,
hard hit
really
balls.
Hard on Tuesday. Actually had 2 of the 7 hardest hit balls in baseball all season on Tuesday. And they just happened to be right at, people for outs. So.
Is Jimmy Nelson still struggling against lefties?
Yes. So those
Conforto.
Conforto, Granderson. It's kind of, I guess, Walker. That's kind of it. Judah's on the DL.
Last I looked at Nelson, the numbers against lefties were actually much better than they were last year, but it was also a very low BABIP.
Yeah.
So the indicators that he was walking a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those lefties are good plays tonight.
So some emails for you, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Craig from Toronto says, "Dear Jeff, Brad, and Dan." Jeff, Brad, and Dan.
We'll no idea.
Gray the trade. Give Carlos Correa, get Corey Seager, and Charlie Blackmon.
It's an A.
Nah, it's not an A.
I think it's an A.
It's a...
Is it a dynasty league? What am I missing?
Because I do like... Look, I know Seager's been better than Correa, but I give Correa the edge over Seager, and Blackman's not stealing. Okay. Look, it's a win. It's just it's a B.
Okay.
Oh, those are the Giant Bomb guys. They do a podcast. I think that's a CNET podcast.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
All right.
Yeah, but no, they're cool. So next up, we have Jason from Rochester. With Leonis Martin coming off the DL, who should I drop to make room for Martin in a 5x5? Buxton, Odubel Herrera, Ellsbury, or Chris Carter?
He doesn't say how many teams. Not, I'm sure that matters.
I don't want to drop Buxton.
I don't either, but I think I'm gonna.
Yeah, just because like if you have Martin, Herrera, and Ellsbury, and Buxton, you're drawing from the same well. At least Chris Carter gives you something a little different.
Yeah,
Buxton. Yeah. Okay, this is from Bart from Toledo. You're next, Ezra. Don't worry, dear Joe, Ned, and Don. Bart said these are Homer managers.
Okay,
Girardi, Yost, Mattingly.
Oh.
I traded Vince Velasquez yesterday morning at 8:02 a.m. in return for Will Myers in my 12-team head-to-head points league. After two pitches into the game, we all know Velasquez left with an apparent injury, and now the owner that I traded with wants to reverse the trend. Or the trade. I feel the trade was made when he was healthy, and it's a done deal. Can I get your thoughts?
Bart, your league mate's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that trade counts. In fact, I remember Nando, when he was here, he made a trade in an office league. And the same thing happened. A guy that Nando traded to someone else here immediately got traded, immediately got hurt. And the guy went up to Nando and he said, "I never got so screwed so fast in a trade." But that's what happens.
Yeah, that's
you know, the Phillies knew there were issues with Velasquez when they traded for him, and they're not asking for Ken Giles back.
Yeah, it's
as we know.
I am so mad that I didn't trade Vince Velasquez after that start. Like, and I was like saying that I wanted to trade him. Yep. I'm so mad at myself for not doing that.
I did
because
offer,
he had injury concerns.
I did make some offers for him, but it just it's. I do want to point out I saw something on Twitter since we're talking about managers. Tommy Lasorda was sent to AAA 50 years ago yesterday to make room for Sandy Koufax.
Really? That's pretty.
Or
cool.
Or 60 years ago maybe. I don't know what the exact date was. But
well,
that's
thanks
what
for
happened.
Nothing, Chris. I don't
the
even
details
what you
are
said.
Right. The date was wrong.
From Ezra, Machado for Harper in a 5x5 categories league. Give up Machado, get Harper, 5x5 categories.
That is a B.
It,
that's a B.
I would never make this trade on either side. They're you're talking about two of the top three players. It's like one of them goes through a cold streak at the wrong time and you lose the trade.
Well,
I
disagree with you. Because if Machado's not going to steal, I think at this point we have to assume he's not. You're talking Harper could hit 20 more home runs than him. Not rest of season.
Yeah.
So 10 more home runs, 15.
He could.
And they could
and
have
Harper is stealing.
And Harper is stealing, yeah. And either one of them could have a higher batting average. Although I'm starting to think that Harper's just not going to have a good enough pitches to hit. Might hurt his OBP would be great. But
yeah, it just. But either way, I think in a general sense, when you're talking about like trading, if it was Trout, if it was Harper, if it was Machado, like.
I don't think Machado's there. Do you?
He's not that far off.
No, but he is off.
But
he is a
there.
Little bit off.
Okay.
That's why it's a B.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
Hey, you're welcome. From Colin, looking like Trey Turner will be Dusty Baker rest of the season. I don't know about that. Dozier was just dropped in a league. Javier Baez is available in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. I already have Altuve and Desmond, so should I drop Trey Turner for Dozier or Baez?
I wouldn't, especially since it's a categories league and Turner could give you steals help later on.
Yeah.
I'm just not back on the Dozier train yet.
Yeah, if I was going to, it would be for Dozier and not Baez. But if I don't need it right now, yeah.
Goodbye, fantasy baseball friends. Have a lovely day. We'll talk to you on Friday. Please vote for the Fantasy Football Today podcast on podcastawards.com. And who knows, maybe next year I'll be telling you to vote for the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on podcastawards.com. For Al Melchior and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. We'll see you.